Yes, Lord, we thank you for that promise. That there is coming a day when we will rise, when we will lay aside the trappings of this earth and be face to face with you forever. And yet you are still here with us right now. And you have given us your Spirit. So into our grieved, distracted, burdened hearts, we invite you to come afresh and work right now to open us up to your word, because we can harden to it. Open our ears to hear what your Spirit has to say, and change us today forever for the glory of Jesus Christ. So Father, I'm just asking that I could teach with clarity, that we would each and all respond to you wholeheartedly. So glorify yourself through the presentation of your word, and anoint it and illumine our hearts. Move here today. And I thank you for what you're going to do. Before we ever see it, we embrace the joy of your goodness and your faithfulness to us. Amen. You may be seated. We are in a dangerous place on a dangerous mission. Your choices are life and death decisions. Failure to choose rightly in this life could lead to a spiritual heart attack. Some of you know that word physically. The challenges of taking care of your health have been real to you. And you've had a doctor tell you, this must happen or this will happen. That's a sobering encounter. But how do we protect spiritual health? The King of Kings has purchased our souls with his lifeblood. He sent us into this sin-sick world with a message, with a purpose. And we are here to make much of Christ. We want to exalt Christ in every endeavor in this new year. Isn't that right? Every endeavor. To so live our lives so that each person that we touch, whether it's regular or just random, would be impacted with the love of Jesus Christ. So what's so dangerous about that kind of a mission? I mean, that sounds exciting. We could impact people with the love of Christ. Well, this world that we're living in has a whole different value system. And it's very attractive, and it's very deceptive, and it can suck you in. You know, the danger we have is we've been appointed to be ambassadors for Christ. But the danger we have is that we could betray our King by our allegiance to the world that we've come to find ourselves fond of. And so we can be distracted, we can be deceived, we can even be destroyed by the very world you came to reach. Because my heart can get enticed. Maybe you faced this challenge, I certainly did. I had some people who blessed me with extra gifts this year around the holiday season, isn't that right? And you place that platter of goodies over there on the counter and you go, I'm gaining weight just looking at that stuff. You know, I mean, some of you know how to bake and it just does that kind of thing, you know. And what does it do? I don't know about you, but that kind of food talks to me, okay? It is inviting me. You know, and we had one, it was wrapped up a couple of times. You know, I was thinking that might slow me down. But you know, it's kind of funny. That's not a problem, is it? You get enticed into that, even though you may know this tastes good going down, but it ain't doing me no good going down. And we still eat it. Are you with me on that? And that same concept, that then affects what? That affects my physical heart, what I'm eating. And the same thing is true spiritually. What I'm taking in is affecting my spiritual heart. And so we need to be careful that the pleasures and enticements of this world will not distract us from the very Savior that purchased our soul. Because I can tend to live for myself rather than for my Savior in this life. And so he, through the Holy Spirit, talked to John and gave us a word that's quite clear. In 1 John 2:15, it says this. Would you read it with me? Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's sobering, isn't it? Do not. If you do, Father's love is not in you. Yikes. What you love will determine how you live. That's the danger. We live in a world where this stuff can begin to grow into you and it'll distract you and it'll pull you aside. So the question for us is, how do we then live on such a dangerous mission? I'm going to tell you, the answer is simple, but the process is profound. Okay? Because if you would live serving the Savior in this life, you must very diligently guard your heart. Guard your heart. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 4, because I want to talk to you about the process that's profound. The principle is quite simple. Guard your heart. That's important. How important? Well, look how important he makes it in Proverbs chapter 4. Say, my son, verse 20 is where I'm starting, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. You get this picture here, there's a word picture, that your heart is like a well. And what's coming up out of that well is giving life to everything that you do. And he says, you better protect that well. Isn't that why in zoning ordinances they got places where you can put your well in it, you know, you don't put your well below your septic drain field. There's a reason for that, isn't there? Okay? You're going to guard that well, you know? There's reasons why, hey, we don't want this going into the creek. It's going to pollute something. He says you need to watch over your heart because there's things that can affect the very springs of your life, and all of a sudden it goes bitter. All of a sudden it becomes caustic. Watch your heart. God has called you and I to this critical task. If your heart stops, your life stops. We understand that physically. We really don't. Not unless you've been through that process. Some of you have. And you know, that's, we just kind of take it for granted that this ticker is not going to stop. And yet, things can happen. Things can happen, and you think you've been taking care of it, but maybe you haven't. So today I want to walk through this. How do we know the condition of our heart, and how do we deal with that? And I won't be able to finish it all today. I quickly discovered that as I looked at this thing and was just thinking it's a nice opening thing is, hey, let's talk about our heart this year and how we can give our hearts to Christ and how we can go all out for God. But it's going to take another week to at least to expand this idea. But I want to work backward today. So we're going to start here with 23, and then before we get to the end, we'll have covered 21 to 22. But he says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Friends, here's a principle. You alone are responsible for the condition of your heart. Things happen in life and we will choose irritation. Sometimes we will say to somebody, you make me so mad. Do they? Or do they do things that you choose to get mad about? Is somebody else fully in charge of your life, or are you in charge of your life? Now, there are those around us who know how we make choices, and sometimes they can intentionally feed us. I mean, you know, growing up with five brothers and sisters, you knew how to push the buttons of everybody in that family. Was it their responsibility to make a good choice? Yes. Did we incite a different choice? Oh, yeah. I'm not bragging on that. I'm just saying that that's the reality of part of the world I've lived in. But it's important. If somebody else is responsible for the condition of your heart, then you won't take it seriously that you have to look out for it. If you can blame the problem of what's going on in your life on somebody else, then you're not going to deal with it. So you can project that onto others. It could have been a parent that's pained your heart, that's already gone home to be with God, or maybe didn't go home to be with God. And yet there's still something going on in your heart that's bugging you. It can be a spouse or an ex-spouse. It could be your child or your grandchild. It can be that boss. There could be something that's going on that disturbs your heart because of a situation. And in that place, he says what? You watch your heart. Your heart is your responsibility. It's been helpful for me just to continually remind myself, your response is your responsibility. I try to teach this with parents when you have that situation where your children seem to incite you to wrath. You know, and you get that spot where they're pushing your buttons. And I always say, if you lose control, you lose. That's the name of the game. So your response is your responsibility. And so when we face situations, it's will we choose in that circumstance to not react to how I feel, to not react to what this makes me feel like doing, but to say, Jesus, what's the right response here? Because he has told us in this book how to respond to every situation in our life. And those responses will create a healthy heart, or if we fail to, will create an unhealthy heart. Just like what you eat and how you exercise can create a healthy physical heart. So, you decide your destiny, all right? By the care that you give to your heart, all right? So why is this the spiritual heart so critical? Well, in Proverbs 4:23, this verse we're reading, I found it interesting to look at it in some different translations. You know, I love the New American Standard, and I'm kind of stuck there most of the time. But I picked up one of these new devices that has all the different translations, and so you can pop through and I can view it, and I really found it helpful for meditating was to look at these different translations and see how it reads. So read this with me from the New International Version. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. See? Do you see how that feels just a little different, doesn't it? And he says, above all else. He says, your heart is critical. This is to have the highest priority. Here's a question I got to ask. I had to ask myself as I looked at this. I want to ask you, since I've been under the conviction, I just want to spread it around. encourage you with it. Are you intentionally guarding your heart? Are you intentionally looking at that saying, God, okay, what am I supposed to be doing here? Because everything you do flows out of that well. Everything. So how you act at work, how you act at home, the way you drive your car, the thoughts that are going through your head, what you do on the computer, how you act in the classroom. Everything you do flows out of that. Now, if everything you do flows out of that, then that makes it critical, doesn't it? You know? Which is why we recognize that a heart attack is such a critical thing, because everything, every aspect of health in your body comes from a healthy heart. And you know, when a person has a damaged heart, all of a sudden, there's a whole lot that they can no longer do. It just restricts their activity. It restricts their function. All right? And so your heart health affects every aspect of your life. So this is really important to think about and to take seriously. Okay? And so a heart attack won't always kill you. It can just cripple you. And we don't have a dead spot in your heart. You know, when a heart has a heart attack, the oxygen doesn't get to it, and then that portion of the heart can die. And it won't have the capacity to produce the strength, to produce the health for the rest of the body. So it's critical that you watch out for it. But here's the thing that's more important. This sometimes we can get, and I do this even as a teacher. We get so, I'm into trying to make this all practical for you, and it's all about still what? Me. Now understand this, that the reason that's so important is because if I'm not living right, Jesus Christ is not exalted. That's the issue, is that His glory is restricted. His honor is not magnified. And so if I don't choose right, it's not just that I can't do these things like I used to do, or I won't respond right. It's that Jesus is in essence slandered by my poor behavior. So the focus of my heart can either lift up Christ or it can cause disrespect to go to Christ. You've all heard people say, if that's what being a Christian is, I want nothing to do with that. That's somebody who had a heart problem that didn't deal with it. Not only did it cause them to not have a good life, but it distracted the glory that Jesus Christ was supposed to be getting. It says, from it flows the springs of life. So, my watch care and your watch care can determine your heart health. So are you guarding it? What are you doing to guard your heart? You think of guarding something. I mean, normally speaking, I think a lot of times for my mind, I'm thinking of the guy with, you know, the protector shotgun. You know, it's that idea that, all right, we've got this covered. It's the idea that you're watching out for the fact that there's someone going to threaten to take away something that you have. If Jesus Christ has come to live within you, if He's placed His very life within you, and something could hinder the expression of that life, that ought to be protected. Just as much as you'd be protecting your spouse or your children or your valuables. Okay? So that's the idea of guarding, that you're looking out for the danger that's going to take something away. Watching, and it has a little bit different perspective. It's the idea of looking attentively to that you might care for the needs of. So both those words are great. You know, watch your heart with all diligence, or guard your heart. You know, I mean, I'll be a little probably chauvinistic to talk about it this way, but there's times when fathers have been assigned the care of their children. You know, they will call it babysitting. It's parenting, guys. If it's your child, you're not babysitting. You're taking care of your children. Okay, and you know, being a man, we've got a certain list of things to do, and so a guy will begin trying to care for his young children while he's getting some stuff done. You know, one of the few times when men will try to multitask. But in that spot, they will find, at least I frequently found, you really couldn't do a very good job of what you're trying to do with the task And you really weren't doing such a good job at taking care of the kiddos, you know? And so the wife comes home and says one of two things. She looks around the house and says, "What happened?" Okay. Which is implying, hey, you didn't provide the proper watching. See, watching is an active concept, see? You've let them get into things they shouldn't have got into. You let them do things they shouldn't have done. You didn't watch this very well. Or else sometimes, it's a little more frightening experience, she says, "Hey, where are the children?" You know, "Well, they were just here about 10 minutes ago. Last time I saw them, they were headed down to the pond." You know, we don't always watch things that way. But when he says, "Watch your heart," he says, realize this is so critical that there are things you can do that will promote your heart's health or that will damage your heart's health. And so we have to be alert to that. And Jesus wants us to have that perspective. He wants us to get this. In John 14:1, he knew there was an event coming into his disciples' life that was potentially going to devastate them. He was going to die on a cross. They were going to watch him get executed. He had talked about it, and it just kind of, they still didn't get it, just like us. We just miss an awful lot of what he's trying to say. And so to prepare them for that, he tells them this. Read it with me. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And in this very spot, what's he say? Your heart is your responsibility. Do you see that? He says, you don't let your heart get troubled. Don't let trouble overwhelm you. Friends, I can let something that's bugging me get inside of me, and it will trouble my heart. It will eat it up. You know what I'm talking about? And you're knowing, this problem should not be the focus of my heart, but all of a sudden, it is. He says, don't let it happen. Guard your heart. What's the answer? Believe in God. Believe also in me. He says there's an active faith response to trouble that will allow you to deal with it. All right? So when your heart is troubled, that's a feeling. Isn't that right? We feel troubled in heart. Do you know that your feelings are actually one of the ways of monitoring your heart? How is your heart doing? You know, we monitor hearts with taking blood pressure. Isn't that right? You're on the check. See, okay, what's your blood pressure? And you're wanting to see, you know, check a person's pulse. How healthy is what's going on the inside? Your feelings, okay, reveal your perspectives about God and life. Job lost his children, lost his possessions, lost everything. You know he was feeling greatly grieved. Isn't that right? He'd be feeling incredibly sad. He'd be feeling heartbroken. And yet you see in his perspective, he says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. What? Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's a healthy heart response to what's going on. When anxiety grabs you, okay, and some of you wrestle with that, you know, that anxiety attack. When it grabs you, what's it saying? You've got a perspective about this situation that you're in that's not resting in God. If I'm anxious, then I'm not at peace with God. And so there's something I'm not believing. And so when Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe in me, he says, there's a belief you need to apply to that situation. And so our feelings can reveal this perspective about do I think God's good? Do I think God will handle it? That's one of the things Job said in his situation. God's good. Blessed be his name. What do I think is going on? So whether you're sad or glad, whether you are exhausted or energized and elated, it's telling you something about your perspective. And so you can check to see how your heart's doing by whether it's burdened or whether it's feeling blessed. So it's just a way of knowing. Now, Jesus said there's another way to know what's going on in your heart. Do you know the other monitor? It's over in Matthew 15. Turn with me there. I haven't had you turn too much today, so I want to continue to equip you in your Bibles. By the way, that's why we always encourage you to bring your own Bible, and why I want you at times to be turning there. So we, is that other picture we saw earlier, so we knock the dust off. You know, you go to passages that maybe you wouldn't go to, and to become familiar with your word. This is His word for you. This is your word. 15, 18, and 19. We're going to jump right in the middle of Jesus explaining a parable where they were having trouble with people eating food and being defiled by that, where God was trying to show you that what you put inside of you affects you, and they didn't get the heart message. Jesus said, verse 18, "The things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the mouth comes, out of the heart, excuse me, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." So he was taking this principle, hey, you didn't wash your hands before you eat, now you're unholy, now you've defiled yourself because you ate this unholy. No, he says, there is a principle here. And the principle is that what's going inside, on inside, what's coming out, that's revealing this evil. And what does he say? He says, this stuff comes from your heart. We'll say, I spoke without thinking. It's not true. Your mouth cannot do anything without thinking. But I have frequently spoken without thinking enough. Are you with me on that one? See, it wasn't without thinking. You thought something, you said it. Oh, man, I have done that so much. That's why we're going to have that series, Me and My Big Mouth. Okay, because it's a huge heart issue to actually deal with your mouth. James says it's almost impossible to tame it. Okay, so that's a big heart issue. We'll talk about that some other weeks. Okay, but right here, what he's saying is, what's coming out of your mouth is coming up from within your heart. Which means you can monitor your blood pressure spiritually by watching your conversation. It tells you what's going on the inside. It tells you what's occupying your heart because it's what you're talking about. It's what you can't let go of. It's what you can't resolve. But some people have disciplined themselves. They've learned to keep their mouth shut. Some of us haven't got that down too well yet. But you still think it. Isn't that right? Who's listening? Does God know the thoughts of your heart? Okay, so here's the principle I want to give you, just another thought. Is that your internal and external conversations reveal the condition of your heart. Because sometimes there's a whole internal conversation going on, and you never say it. So does that mean your heart was healthy? No, because your heart was still having all those thoughts. So I can say nice things to somebody, but inside my heart can still be in bad shape. So both of those things are important. So one of the ways you can monitor your heart, you say, okay, I'm supposed to be watching my heart. I'm supposed to be guarding your heart. Are you still with me on this? I'm trying to show you. Here's how you can look to see what's going on inside. Is you can check your pulse by saying, what's coming out of my mouth? What are the thoughts that are going through my head? Psalms 19:14. David prayed about this. A great prayer. You're familiar with it? Let's pray it together. This is actually a prayer. Now, you can just read this. It doesn't mean anything. But if you pray it back to God, you say, I want this to be true of me, then it becomes something more. All right? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You see, because I can say, Lord, I give you this problem. I'm so glad you're a loving God and you're going to take care of this. I turn it over to you. And then the meditation of my heart can be, I just don't know what's going to happen. I just wonder what are we going to do? Anybody with me on that? Okay. So the issue is, what's going on with your heart is critical. And that you would be able to observe, is my heart tied up in knots? See? Is it stiff? Is it unresponsive to what God wants me to do? Or am I compassionate? Do I have the heart response to the circumstances around me that God wants? It's interesting. When people have heart surgery, oftentimes hospitals will give them a pillow like this. They call it the heart pillow. And one of the things they want them to do with that pillow is to keep it close to them, because it begins to help them monitor what they're feeling. And so when they're getting ready to cough, I've got a couple of brothers who could give us instruction on this. They're supposed to hold that close to their heart, because you don't want to cough too hard when you've had your chest cavity cut open. And you don't want to be popping seams on valves that have been re-sewn together. But it's the idea of learning to be sensitive to what's going on inside your heart. And so we talk about this idea of watching your heart and guarding your heart. It's saying, hey, are you aware that what's going on outside, what you're doing out here, could actually be hurting something in here. So they give them a pillow to warn them about that. But what I'm trying to do is give you some pictures for you to be able to perceive how to do this spiritually. Okay? And so what's the positive side of this? Look with me back to Proverbs chapter 4, to those verses that preceded 23. He said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Yeah. You know that the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon to sons. He was writing to his family, saying, here's what wisdom is. Here's what it's supposed to be. But I want you to understand something. When God then takes that writing and inspires it and makes it his word, when we read, my son, who's talking? Our Father. Our Father's talking to us. And so you can directly translate this back to you, that your Heavenly Father is saying this to you, saying, this is a message I have for you. My son, give attention to what? To my words. Right here, what we have, his word, okay? Incline your ear to my sayings. Now, any of you have had sons? No, that's a great challenge to try and get their attention sometimes, to get them to turn their ear to hear what you're saying, because they're just, what'd you say? I mean, it starts pretty early, doesn't it, guys? You just tune it out. You're involved in something else, okay? And he says, do not let them depart from your sight, okay? What's that say? He says that you should take the word of God and look at it regularly. That you should be a person who is regularly taking in God's word. He says, and keep them in the midst of what? Your heart. Keep them in the midst of your inner person, of your inner thoughts. That you would take this word and, you've heard it said, hide it in your heart. But you know what? You can memorize verses and still not be doing anything with it. I remember a story of a church. They were having somebody was stealing their Sunday school offering, and they couldn't figure out what was going on, so they put somebody in the side room and watched one day, and they caught this boy, and everybody was shocked because it was the boy who'd memorized more verses than anyone else. And one of the verses he just had memorized was, thou shalt not steal. And they says, well, didn't you memorize this verse? He says, yeah. Well, what does that mean? He says, I don't know. I just learned the verse. You know what I mean? You can read it, you can know it here, but if you haven't got it to here, you're missing by 18 inches. And we are well-informed believers many times, but that doesn't mean we're walking it out. So he says, keep them in the midst of your heart, and then he gives this promise. And for me, the promises are what push me past my passivity. The promises push me past my hindrances, my roadblocks, my obstacles. He says, for they are life to those who find them. What are God's words? They are life to those who find them, and their health to their whole body. He says, it's going to be good for everything about you. So he motivates us with that. So we need to feed our heart healthy to produce a healthy heart. Heart health is enhanced by feeding and acting on the truth. All right? You talk to your doctor, they're going to, and you've got a heart problem, or even before you have a heart problem, a good doctor will be talking to you about what? About your diet and your exercise. Isn't that right? What are you feeding yourself? And then what are you doing to keep good heart health? Because this is critical. Your life depends on your heart. And so it is true spiritually. So heart health spiritually is enhanced by feeding and acting on the truth. Now here's the shocking thing. Have I told you anything really that new today? This is not new stuff. And yet, it's pretty easy to neglect this book. But many of us, and you did hear me say us, will spend several hours entertaining ourselves this afternoon. Will we not? We will devote ourselves, and if it goes into overtime, are we going to walk away? No? Have you ever gone overtime with God in the Word of God? Have you ever said, you know what, it's just, I don't have time to watch the news tonight. I need to hear from God tonight. See, the scary thing that I have found is we can step into this world. Remember I talked about this? And be so deceived and so wrapped up in the stuff and so get patterned after the world that all of a sudden, I have people say this to me, and I'm not picking on you if you've ever said it. You know, James, I just am so busy. I really don't have time for the Word of God. I don't have time to read. I really don't have time for a quiet time. You know, I'm a busy guy. And I love to eat. And I have been busy, so busy, that I didn't have time to eat. But not for very long. Do you follow what I'm saying? I don't go a day without eating. Unless it's an intentional fast. It's not because you got so busy you didn't have time. You may skip a meal. Friends, I'm not saying you can't ever miss having God time. But if you are regularly skipping God time, I'm here to tell you your heart is not what you think it is. You've got a profession without a possession. There's a damage going on because you need this. He says this is life and health to your whole body. Now, it's not magic, friends, but it is majestic to think about the fact that the God of the universe has wrote a book to talk to you about walking with Him. Remember, it's not just to give you a set of rules, it's to give you, to invite you into a relationship with Jesus Christ, to walk this out. All right? And so that's why God time is so important. That's why we've put resources back there. That's why you heard me talking about, hey, would you make a disciplined effort to expose yourself consistently to the Word of God and begin reading through your Bible? And if you're not a great reader, don't try to read as much. It's not about volume. It's about heart response. And so for some of you, you may find it very challenging to say, I'm going to read through the whole Bible. Then read through the New Testament. You say, well, you don't know how hard it is for me to read. Okay. Now, I tried to avoid the technology for a while. But it just kind of caught up with me. They actually called me and asked for my cell phone for a museum. They said, we haven't made that phone for several years. I says, it's still a phone and it works. Leave me alone. I don't want to pay your prices. But I have found something unique about phones, the smartphone. Because it gives you this wonderful opportunity to have the Word of God always with you. Isn't that right? And so you can have the Word of God with you. And some of you say, man, I am so busy. You know what's crazy? The way this stuff works now, it will read the Bible to you. You don't even have to read your own Bible. You open up your phone, you punch it, and it will talk to you. It will tell you what the Word of God says. And you can sit here and look at this translation or that translation or back and forth. And I'll tell you what, I have found that smartphones have communicated something to me. I am not as smart as I think I am. Yeah, I'm on a serious learning curve right now. But what I'm saying is, you can use technology to be distracted and play Angry Birds, to waste your time searching through the news, something that tends to catch my attention occasionally, you know? Or you can use it to say, you know what? God has made a resource available to me that while I'm on my way to work, I can have somebody reading the Bible to me. I can begin to absorb Scripture. I can make a deliberate effort. And that's what I'm talking about, is if you want to have a healthy heart, you are responsible to make a deliberate choice in your heart to deal with it. Feed your heart the Word, and your heart health will improve. I guarantee it. All right? If you apply it. You see, it's back to saying, okay, it's not just, okay, I read my portion of the Bible today. It's, did I read it? Am I going to observe it? Because one of the things that I'll do, and we've put journals out there for you on that table in the back, the resource, is I'll then journal. Because see, I have found, because I've read and read and read, that I'm pretty comfortable with the Word. And I can just go, amen. And then I walk out and live in my flesh. So one of the things I'll do is journal. So when I finish reading a promise or I read a command, I'll write down one command. You know, I'll read far more than that, but I'll write down one of the commands that the Spirit of God drew out to my heart out of my reading. I literally will write it out and then say, what are you going to do about that? What's the promise telling me to do? How do I feel about that? What's my response to the Father? He spoke to me. If you read, you're hearing God speak to you, then what's your response back to Him? All right? So that's a critical factor. So taking time to feed yourself the truth will strengthen your heart. All right? And it will invite you into a dependency, a confessional dependent relationship on Jesus Christ. We know some portions of Scripture better than others. This next one I think you'll know quite well. Romans 10. 9 and 10. But as you read it today, I wonder if it might just stand out to you just a little different. Go ahead and read it with me. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Friends, that is the gospel. Amen? That's the gospel. This is what brings you into relationship with Christ. But notice how it says, if you believe this in your heart, and if you believe in your heart, it results in righteousness. The gospel that saves you is the gospel that sanctifies you. We need to continue to preach the gospel to each other. This depending on Christ for life is not to get into heaven. It's to walk with God every day until we are with Him in heaven. You know, we're not just purchasing tickets to get on a heaven bus and you wait for your rapture bus. You know, some of you might be surprised. That rapture bus might come later than you think. There's more than one view of when that's going to happen. So no, I'm supposed to be walking it out with Him. So when I read the Word of God, He asks me to what? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who gave me the Word. My response has to be, I will submit to what the Word says in my life if I'm going to get healthy. And He says, that will produce righteousness in my heart as I yield to its direction. See, it's not just read it. No, it's read it and respond. All right? So that's that third principle. It's that only submitting to Jesus will solve your heart problems. It's not just knowing that you should have a better diet. It's not knowing. You guys know how to exercise. It's not knowing how to exercise. It's exercising that makes a difference. It's not knowing what the Bible says. It's what you do with what the Bible says that's going to produce heart health. And that requires what? Me submitting to a person. Because Jesus Christ told us this. This is His written Word. And so we have the living Word who has given us the written Word. So what happens? Sometimes our hearts get heavy. Sometimes our hearts get hurt. Sometimes our hearts get burdened. All right? If you don't watch out, you fail to guard your heart, it will become polluted. And from that place, you will find it unresponsive. A damaged heart cannot put the same capacity out, and so pretty soon the body will not function at the same level. Okay? We're not going to have time to go into all of that today, but I want to take you to one verse, Colossians 3, 12 and 13, and this will kind of set us up for the next one. All right? For next week, Lord willing. All right? Read this with me. So as those who are been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. When our heart gets offended and we hang on to it, it creates tightness in your spiritual chest. If you don't deal with that over time, that will create a heart attack. Forgiveness is a key factor, friends. Giving and receiving God's forgiveness is essential for your heart health. Because the forgiveness message is what? It's the core of the gospel. It's the core of who we are. And I cannot come to the cross and say, thank you, Jesus, that's wonderful that you died for me. And come to Wes and say, but I'm not letting go of a single one of your sins. Because that's denying what the Savior has done. See, I have to accept that what he did for me, he did for all. And we have to walk that out together. And so he says, do not. If you've got a complaint against somebody, he says, you forgive them. Right? There's a whole process of resolving heart issues that I want to walk us through. But I just wanted to touch this one here because it's something that will give you a heart attack. And so it's just like that situation. You go to the doctor and he says, you know, you are a heart attack waiting to happen. Okay? If you don't deal with this, it will kill you spiritually. He says, so forgive one another just as Christ also has forgiven you. And I don't know who that is. That can be someone who's been very dear to your heart. I've watched friends who I knew were deeply, deeply in love, fall in love, walk into love, choose love, marry in love, and then later find them hating one another. And you look at that and go, how can they do that? Well, at some point, you quit forgiving. Somebody's quit forgiving. And so it's a spot here that for freedom in the heart, health in the heart, comes through forgiveness. And we'll walk through that more in the days ahead. But what I have to believe is that I believe that Jesus paid for you. And I believe that Jesus paid for me. Because there's another spot in your heart. Some of you won't forgive yourself. You won't let go of that thing, and it beats you up, and it beats you up, and it beats you up. And I'm saying, Jesus was already beaten up for that. There's enough beating going on. You need to let go of that and walk free so your heart can beat the way Christ wants it to. Friends, guard your heart. Guard your heart. I want you to see one more way that this verse can be read in the New Century Version, Proverbs 4:23. Look at this. Read it with me. Be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. Another way to look at it, isn't it? Know your feelings, your thoughts, your words. That's showing you what's going on inside your heart. Then feed yourself the truth and act on it with forgiveness. And you'll move into a healthy heart. You'll guard your heart and you'll do better. Let's grow. Let's pray. Father, I want us to grow. I want us to deal with our issues. I want us to embrace your will, your plan. And so I'm praying that you would make us a people with healthy hearts. But so often that's what we pray. God, just give me a healthy heart. And yet you have told us that we're responsible to guard it. We're responsible to watch it. We're responsible to bring it to the Word and let you wash it. We're responsible to confess the sins that are in our heart, to release the offenses that we hold on that then cause problems between us and others. Father, would you come and do a work in our heart today to open us up that we could be healthy, that above all else we'd have healthy hearts. Because you said you wanted us to love you with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our strength. And that's what we're desiring. So we want to have a whole heart to give you. So come right now and do that work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's